We're continuing our study, our series, on the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible. And we've been talking about these last few weeks the majestic trait of the God of the Bible, his perfect perfection, which is the sovereignty of God. And so for our foundation text, once again, let's open our Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 13. As we go over again the foundation text concerning the sovereignty of God. And that's just one text that we chose to go over. There's a myriad, a plethora of verses in Scripture that we can go over. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 13. Yeah, so I have my chair up here because sometimes my arm starts to hurt and sitting down relieves that. So I just want to let you know just why that's up here, for the case anybody's distracted. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 13. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and what's implied, in the presence of Christ Jesus, who made the good confession before Pontius Pilate, to keep all his precepts without stain or reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you go back to verse 13, he says, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God. A charge is an assignment, a responsibility, a duty that we're to keep. Now, after in the presence of God, I solemnly charge in the presence of God, everything from the rest of that verse in verse 13 to the end of verse 13 is parenthetical. You can put parentheses around those. So I charge in the presence of God who gives life to all things, and in the presence of Christ made the good confession to Pontius Pilate. That's all parenthetical. Then he picks up in verse 14 with the charge. The assignment, the duty, you follow me? So in verse 13, he says, I charge you. What did he charge us? What is the Holy Ghost through the Apostle Paul to his letter to Timothy and through Timothy to us? What is that charge? What is that assignment? What is that duty? What is that responsibility that we're to carry out? Verse 14, to keep all God's precepts without stain or reproach. How long? Until the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. That's comprehensive.
Yes, it is.
What are we to do? Obey everything. How long? Till Jesus come back. So I love the word of God. It removes all theories. Well, God to me, no. Obey everything he says until Jesus comes back. Well, what the Holy Spirit is speaking through the Apostle Paul to the letter in Timothy is the same Holy Spirit that spoke through Moses when he wrote the book of, or Joshua rather, in the book of Joshua, when he says, Joshua 1 and 8, that we're to not let the book of the law depart out of our mouth, but we're to meditate it day and night, and thirdly, to endeavor to do according to all the law.
Yes, sir.
All. It's all about all. You don't get to pick and choose. And I'm going to stress this word of life because your brothers and sisters, real, genuine Christians who've been born again, they live in the land of picking and choosing. Meaning what? I'll do this, but I ain't doing that. Or I'm going to do this, but that's really not necessary. Or I'm going to make a God out of doing this works, by disregarding all of this. You don't get to pick and choose. We are to obey all or the all of God's commands. Just like we're commanded to teach the whole counsel of God. I don't get to pick and choose. Well, I'm going to teach y'all this, but I'm not going to teach y'all that. Believe me, that goes on in the pulpit. That goes on in the pulpit. And it is a doggone shame that that goes on. Because the people of God hear concepts and things in scripture they never hear anything about. Because pastors got all kinds of reasons why they're not going to share this with the saints of God. One, if it's too tough, I don't want to, you know, lose them. I don't want people to leave the church. You know, that God above, you know, that makes God sound a little harsh. So let's not really talk about that God. Let's all only talk about his love and his kindness and his goodness, but never about his wrath and his demand for holiness and purity. His demand for loving those who are hating you. Let's not talk about all that. Then you have Christians who go out here and don't live that life like that. Like what? Loving people that who are hating them. Understanding that there is a life they must live that must be holy and pure before God. Understanding that you can't just do whatever you want to do. Understanding you lost the right. You can in ability, but you don't have the right anymore to just go out and live any way you want to live. Think whatever you want to think. Speak whatever you want to do. And so the Holy Spirit is reminding us again through the Apostle Paul in his letter to Timothy, I charge you, I command you, I put this assignment on you. This is your duty and your responsibility to keep all of God's precepts, commands, laws. And it says without stain or reproach, meaning you're to do this without fail. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 14. And you're to do it until Jesus comes back. Word of life, do you hear anywhere in there where you get to take a break from doing God's will? No. I don't see a break. That means you do it and really until Jesus comes back. Really for us, he not come back and all like that. I mean until we die. That's really the bottom line. You're to do this, keep all his commandments until you die. Period. That's all day, every day. When you say, well, man, I'm tired. This kind of links on Wednesday, too. I'm just going to do me. I'm tired of doing good. I ain't seeing no results or rewards or this or that and the other. I don't care how you feel. I don't care what you, that's like the song just said, no matter what you feel, no matter what you think, the word of God is still the word of God. It is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His word is forever settled in heaven. And so we must keep those commands forever. Does that make sense? Word of life. Amen. Okay, this is just the intro, but the foundation takes, but the Lord wants me to, want us to pull that out. Amen. What is he charging us to keep all his precepts, his commands, his laws? Keep them all without stain or reproach until the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 16, 15 rather. Which he, now we are to keep this until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. His precepts will be God the Father. And we're to keep them until the Lord Jesus Christ appears. Verse 15. Which he will bring about in his own time. Okay, what is he talking about? Which, talking about the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, he, God the Father, will bring about in God's own timing. Because only God knows that. Remember the hour, nor the day of the hour knows no man. God knows it. Okay, so in his own time. Then he, who is the blessed and only sovereign, only. And I don't care that, man, I done heard this 12 straight weeks. Great, here at 13. Amen. Just because you know this verse or you know where it is or you've heard this verse doesn't mean you have even begun to understand it. Amen. I'm not saying you haven't begun to understand. I'm just saying just because you're hearing and hearing and hearing it does not mean that you got it. Because sovereignty is a concept or a perfection of God that the people of God do not like. And many pastors don't like to teach it. Because one of the things it threatens is in our secular humanistic worldview that we used to have all these years before the Lord God is slowly changing it, is that we're in charge. We love our freedom. We love our liberty. We love our free will. And we don't want it impinged upon. We don't want it hindered in any way, obstructed in any way. To say that God is sovereign means that my free will is limited. And it, when, especially when it bumps up against his eternal free will, which is unlimited. Yes, sir. We don't like that. Our flesh doesn't like it. But I thank God at Word of Life, we're not joining that crowd. We talk about sovereignty. We dwell on sovereignty. We live on it. Because that's the only way that the people of God can see it as a pillow upon which we can rest our head at night and in the daytime too. We can find rest unto our souls in that doctrine. We can be edified and lifted up through that perfection instead of running from it. He is the only sovereign, potentate, absolute ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords. He alone, verse 16, possesses immortality and lives in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal power and dominion. Amen. So be it. God is sovereign. All right. We are going over scriptures. We've been going through scriptures that talk about the sovereignty of God. I think we stopped at, let's go back to Isaiah 46. Isaiah 46, verse 9. Are we understanding this so far as even just head knowledge? We understanding this. God is fully in charge. You ought to say thank you, Jesus, to be honest with you. Because I keep asking you, you got to realize somebody's in charge.
Amen.
Rather for it to be God than anybody else.
Amen.
Sister Landa was praying, that what is appears to be chaos to us is complete order to God. She didn't quite say it that way, but that's what it means. It's chaos to us. But even to us understanding the sovereignty of God, we understand, you know what? God is over all the chaos because he saw all the chaos before it ever got started. And I'm going to keep my hand in the hand, as the song used to say, of the man who steals the waters,
Amen.
Who calms the sea. I'm going to keep my hand there. I'm going to keep leaning on the everlasting arms. Amen. That's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to be moved by all this out here. I'm going to be moved by what his word says. And I tell you what, if ever there was a age or a time and period in history where the people of God really need to understand who God is, in particular his sovereignty, it would be now. Because there's so much going on in all of the entire world that can throw even veteran Christians off if they are not rooted and grounded in the Word of God. Rooted and grounded in the Word of God. Because what's being blown out of the water is that Christianity light teaching. L-I-T-E. Because that's being blown right off the water. If you're not rooted and grounded, which light Christian teaching does not do, then you'll be uprooted by the wind. You'll be burnt up by the scorching of the sun. But a person that builds his house on a rock will withstand all of this. Then we can say with Job, I'm in the fire. When I come through this, I'm going to come forth as pure gold. You don't utter that unless you know who God is. And that he's sovereign. Isaiah 46 verse 9. Remember this verse 9 through 11. Really talks about the sovereignty of God. The omniscience of God. Meaning God's all knowing. the omnipotent of God, God being all powerful, and he's being all sovereign. Verse 9, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there's none like me. Why is God telling them this? The context very briefly is that his people, the people of God, the children of Israel, some of the tribes had begun to worship other gods other than God. They've begun to throw their allegiance to false gods, to idols. And God is reminding them, I am God and there is no other. Whatever you worshiping, man, that ain't nothing. I am God and there is none like me. Whatever you are worshiping, nothing like me. And it's a false God. It's a non-existent God. Let me tell you why. Because those gods you worship, those gods you're putting your faith and trust in, can't do verse 10. Declare the end from the beginning. What they can't do is, and from ancient times, declare things not yet done. Those gods can't say, my counsel shall stand. And those gods can't say, I will accomplish all my purpose. Further, those gods can't call a bird of prey from the east, verse 11. The man of my counsel from a far country. Those gods can't declare with absolute certainty at the end of verse 11, I have spoken and I will bring it to pass. I have purpose and I will do it. Those gods can't do that. They can't guarantee that. He's telling his own people, don't put your hope, your faith, and your trust in those gods. Here you have a God that can declare the end from the beginning. You want to walk away from that God. And we do that today. So that's why we let things throw us so far off course. Well, President Trump got in office and the Christians went crazy. We thought that God just fell off the throne. God made a mistake here. His omniscience, meaning his all-knowing, didn't suddenly get stunted when 2016 happened. His omnipotence didn't fall, break down, and can't work no more after 2016. He's still God. Amen. Like the people were asking the Christians, you know, where was God in 9/11? And not to be smug or disrespectful, but it's true. He, same place he was at 9/10 and 9/12. Amen. Sitting high on the throne. That's not to be disrespectful, smug, but that's the truth. He didn't suddenly fall off on 9/11 and like got back up on it on birth. He's the same God. We have to understand and we need to catch up with that. We need to get there, Father God. Help us to get there. These things don't throw him. And if we keep our hand in his hand, if you will, if we keep looking unto Jesus, then we won't be so far thrown. And if we are, we'll easily, quickly, more quickly be brought back to the center. Okay, well, God is here. He's still here. He's still on the throne. Remind yourself of these things. Encourage yourself. God is still here. Yeah, he's still on the throne. He didn't fall off. Just because I received a 2:30 call by my cousin, uncle, nephew, because I just came out the doctor's office. I'm bleary-eyed because I received a terrible report. But God, you're still on the throne. You already knew this was coming. I thank you, you'll walk me through this. You'll counsel and guide and teach me and walk me through every single step of it. You have not left me. You will not leave me. You cannot lie. Remind yourself of these promises of who God is to you personally. Amen. That is, if you're cultivating a personal relationship with God. Because you can't have the one for you that your grandma had. Amen. You can't have the one that you had that your great auntie had, or your best friend who you're very close to, they can't morph over and have a relationship for God in your place. You have to know him for yourself, as the old saints used to say. And that was really true. You got to know him for yourself. Because he's a personal God. He's a one-on-one God. That's why he tells us we don't have that kind of high priest who can't be touched with the feelings of our infirmities and shortcomings. We don't have that kind of offer. What kind do we have? One that can be, who is tempted and tested and tried in all points, just like us. He can empathize and sympathize and have compassion. direction for you, but you got to go to him. Amen. Another one of the old songs, have a little talk with Jesus. Yes. Tell him all about your troubles. Yes, he'll hear the faintest cry. Mm-hmm. Glory be to God, he will answer by and by. We're not up in here because it's Sunday. Please, if that you, I'm going to ask you to leave. If that's why you're up in here, just leave out the door. That's not the right attitude. Have purpose when you walk in the door. I come here to worship God. I come to learn more of him. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Because out there is rough without him. And out there is rough with little knowledge of him. You can be, there's many Christians out there just getting blowed all, I know that ain't the word, blowed all sideways. And the Lord is SMH, shaking his head. SHH. Just shaking his head. Wow, look at my people. Look at them. Lack of knowledge. Lack of understanding. And in particular, who God is. And in particular, too, more specifically, who God is to them. He's Father. He's Shepherd. I will never leave you. What other human being can make that promise? We can say that. But we gonna die. So we are, if we die first, we gonna leave you. Our desire is not to, but when God says it, it's said, it's settled forever. He said, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you, which means to turn your back on you at your most dire need, in your most dire time of need. And I'm with you all the time. Who else in the entire universe can make a guaranteed promise like that? Nobody. If you're a child of God, you're really born again, like, you know what, I want to get to know this God. He's going to be a friend to stick close like that. And I need to find out who this dude really is. Yes, thank you, Lord. That ought to spur you. Because, Father God, I'm going to need you. I've told you time and time again, even if your life is decent, even if it's decent, you got cousins, uncles, aunties, nephews who just wreak havoc in your life. Yes, sir. And even if your life is good, you know you just can't live on your life without, because you got the love of God, you got compassion. So you now your heart go to them. You're praying for them. They don't upset you. Mm-hmm. You want to go and knock somebody in the head. Mm-hmm. You want to get real ungodly with God. If you could just blink for 5 seconds, I can take care of this. I'm going to feel real good. If you bunch open your eyes back up. Just blink for 5 seconds, please. So I can feel better. You got friends and family members that's plucking your nerves every day. So even if your life is right, you still got much, much to be praying on and to be guarding against. Because if anybody gets on your skin quicker than anybody else, it's family. Amen. They're your closest, but they're bringing your greatest pain. The closest ones to you, bringing your most deep pain. Yes, we need to stay, quote unquote, prayed up, which means what? Stay locked in that word. Joshua 1 and 8, speak the word, meditate the word, and do all the word. And you'll be ready to help family members while keeping yourself in a godly disposition. Hey, listen to me.
Amen.
Look at Daniel chapter 4, verse 35. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Daniel chapter 4, verse 35. We got it? Daniel 4, 35. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing. That is us. See, to the Christian who has still remnants of secular humanism flowing in their worldview, that's an insult. They don't like it. To the pastors who have remnants of secular humanism flowing in their worldview, they won't teach that. It's all about uplifting the human, make them feel good. You know, you can do you, and just feel good about yourself and just be nice. And that's the God of the Old Testament. He kind of got a little nicer in the New Testament. So kind of let this God go. They teach that to the Old Testament God. Is it the Old Testament God is different from the New Testament God? Like he has some sort of transformation. That's out there. So he was just angry when he said this. So just kind of ignore that. And he's since kind of been reformed and he's still progressing. Process theology, we told you about that one. God is in process. He's learning how to do this God thing kind of on a daily basis. He's figuring it out as he goes along. That's out there too. No one, I wouldn't trust that God either. No one, I would trust Brother Booze or Sister Drink or somebody. Because I'm not going to be confident in that God either if he's trying to figure it out. But God is speaking through the prophet Daniel. This didn't come out of Daniel's mind. It's coming from the mind of God. All scripture is breathed out by God. This is what God is saying. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing. In other words, be for me. You can't influence me. I ain't moved by your tears. We don't like to hear it. We don't like to hear it, but it's really true. But I'm going to tell you something else. Thank God that he ain't moved by folk, because there's folk who doing a whole lot of wrong, be crying, and oh, I'm just so sorry. And if God is moved by everything that's going on like that, then he wouldn't be the God of judgment, the God of all the earth, wouldn't do right then if that was the case. You're counted as nothing. Why? Look at verse 35, keep reading. And he does according to his will among the hosts of heaven. Everybody in heaven. All the angels, the cherubim, seraphim, none of them influence God. And among the inhabitants of the earth. So he does according to his will among the hosts of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say to him, with what have you done? Stay his hand. Meaning, what you doing? Hey, don't do that. You know how a little kid reach out for something, you push their hand back? Nobody can do God like that. Because you don't like what God finna do. First of all, you ain't gonna know what God finna do. F-I-N-N-A, that's ghetto for fin to do. Okay. You know, if you keep thinking and praying and meditating, you're glad that can't nobody stay God's hand.
Yeah,
thank you, Lord. So that's the case, I'd have never been picked as pastor. Never. Because I don't fit that prototype. I wasn't a good guy. I've got terrible grades. I'm fighting a girl in the third grade. Who does that? A knucklehead of knuckleheads. We men don't pick you. He'd have picked a nice guy out of the road. It'd have been my older brother and my younger brother. My oldest brother, if you put a model student In the dictionary, his picture would have been there. He was the model student. Whenever you're the first recipient of a brand new scholarship, you're the first one to get it. That lets you know something.
Amen.
That's a big brother. They'd have stayed all God's hand when he said, "We're gonna pick this one." No way. It'd have broke God's hand. But God does, he picks the one so that who gets the glory?
God
gets the glory. That's why he picks us. That's why he chooses us. So that God gets the glory. He picks the most improbable one. That's why it's a great testimony when they said, "Oh, Greg is the pastor." "Oh, you mean Paul?" "No, not Greg, you mean Paul." As if my mother don't know her own children that she's been around her entire life and gave birth to. They want to tell her, "No, you mean Paul." See, that's a testimony, because that's who the logical choice would have been, because he was the good guy, in a sense. Nobody stays God's hand. He does as he pleases. You ought to say, thank you, Jesus. That's how I got my wife. Because I got all kind of logical things when marrying somebody close to my age and this, that, and the other. Thank God that those are just garbage plans. Thank God that I can't stay his hand either. Not only you or me, I can't stay God's hand for his plan for my life. Because if somebody could stay his hand, he wouldn't save nobody. You're like, man, look at all them. They all sinners, crazy, evil. Don't say, I ain't dying for nobody. I ain't going down there. They're crazy people. And they ain't going to even appreciate it. When I do die for them, they going to make a religion out of it about their own self, works righteous. And I say, man, I did the work. How about this? I make trees. These knuckleheads gonna take the tree, fashion a hammer. I made the iron and the metals. They gonna fasten that, make a hammer, and make some skinny little pieces out of iron, and nail me to the doggone cross. I don't want to die for them. They gonna take what I made for good and use it for evil and kill me. We don't dwell enough on the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't dwell enough on the mercy of God. We don't dwell enough on that. That's why we're so crazy to other people. This is a side journey. That's why we're so evil to other people, because we don't think about what God has done for us. Amen. As if we were worthy. Amen. As if we were worthy. We were not worthy. Am I right, Papa?
Amen.
We were not worthy. He didn't have to die for us. He chose to do that. And he chose to do that because he chose to do that. No goodness of our own. He didn't say, oh, that's a nice guy walking down there. No, let me choose him. No, that's the knucklehead. Let me choose him. He said, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Let me go choose the one that nobody really don't care about him, you know, whatever. Let me choose him. Let me raise him up. Does that count as nothing? All the inhabitants of the earth. You know that realize? You realize that means presidents, popes, kings, emperors, even the devil himself is accounted as nothing before God. Keep this world and all its rulers and everything up in here in perspective, in view of God. This is nothing, God said. You hear people say, when they name drop, you know, oh man, you know, whoever, somebody famous, Beyonce or Jay-Z or whoever, you know, man, I know, you know them all wild. You know, you can come back and say, yeah, I know the God that made them.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Shut that down. Because you're like, Because they so glad. Like, you know, oh man, for real, wow, man. Yeah, but I know the God that made him. He created him. And I know him for real, too. That's how we're going over this series. To know God. Your Father.
Yes.
Our Father. And Jesus opened up the prayer. Pray. Here's the motto, man. You pray like this. Our Father. You open it up with that. Reminder, he's your father, he's my father, he's our father. First and foremost, recognize, first of all, who you are addressing. You're not just talking to some other person. This is the God of the universe. Who am I? You be mindful of me? Wow, wait. Who am I that you would shed your blood to purchase me? Boy, secular humanism has done so much damage in our area of gratitude and being deeply grateful that it just makes the grace of God like you owe it to me.
Yes, sir.
That's so disturbing. Because if the people of God don't give them the proper praise, honor, and glory, then the devil people can't do it.
Awesome, Beth. Yes, sir.
Glory be to God. Look at Romans chapter 8 in the short time we have left. Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, still talking about the sovereignty of God, looking at scripture that back up the concept, the perfection of the sovereignty of God. Romans 8, verse 28. Romans 8, 28. You know this. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. Look at, remember we talked about, let's go into the Greek just a touch. We went to just before. When you talk about order in the Greek, order, O-R-D-E-R, order. When something shows up first in a verse, it's in the emphatic position. Meaning, you want to place emphasis on this. Because the King James says, anybody got a King James? Go ahead, you got it. If you got it, just read it when you get it. Yeah, you got it, fella.
And we knew that all things work together for the good of them that love
God. The love God. Okay, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. All right? King James has, first of all, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Something like that. In the Greek, the King James, I'm not sure why they wrote it in that order, because they're putting things on, and we know that all things work together for good. The emphasis is not on that. In the Greek, the order is for those, that's why this version here, which I think is ESV, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. So in the emphatic position, is stressing the fact for those who love God. Well, why do you say that? Because that's one of the most misquoted verses throughout the world. You hear them misquoted at funerals and everything. That's not for everybody that all things are going to work together for good. It's for those who love God, all things work together for good. Does that make sense? That's not for everybody. And so when the Holy Spirit spoke this to the Apostle Paul, that's how it came out. And I can see why. Because God is saying, that's not for everybody. It's for those who love God. All things are going to work together for good. Now, having said that, remember we're talking about the sovereignty of God. This word right here, these two words here, all things, that is one of the most sovereignty of God statements in the entire scriptures, throughout all the scriptures. Why? Because you have to be completely in charge to make sure that all things work together for good. Mm-hmm. Do you know how many contingencies can happen to one person in one day? Let alone close to 8 billion people. That's why I keep telling you, all things mean good, bad, evil, ugly, peaceful, joyous, happy. All things he's working for our good. So when cousin go crazy, nephew, when a president is assassinated or a civil rights leader is killed, to when a baby is born, to when somebody reaches a 90th birthday, all things God is working together. All of it, every contingency, every circumstance, every possible outcome. This speaks to the sovereignty of God like no other verse. You have to have foreknowledge, and you have to have power, and you have to have wisdom in order to pull this off. That's why it's hard to rejoice in hard times, but you can have a undergirding confidence. It's all right. It's going to be all right. Yeah, it's going to be all right. It's terrible right now. But in this is going to be all right because my God is still on the throne. And he's never leaving me or forsaken me. Stand on that word of life. Stand on it. We're learning tools for how to handle storms. That's what the body of Christ lacks. Sunny days, everybody loves them. But can you stand the rain? And unfortunately, to a lot of our people, we can't, God's people, we can't stand it because we don't know what to do in the rain. One person said, just because it rains don't mean I have to drive. Think about that. It's just raining. You can make it. You don't have to panic. God's given a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and of a sound mind. Sound means well-balanced, disciplined, and controlled mind. Meaning you're in control of your thinking, your thoughts, your emotions. I'm not just all over the place. And one of the things that helps you stay controlled and calm is understanding God is still on the throne. He's sovereign. He's running all events. It's going to work to good. I'm going to be all right. That's why I don't like the word broken yet. I took broke yet off of there in that song. Amen. This world is breaking. So my heart is broken, but I'm not broken yet. Whatever it is. I don't put yet on there. We ain't broken, period. Yes. We live, remember the life we now live, we live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. Yes. His power don't break. We're strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We're being strengthened with might in our inner man. That's God's might. We ain't going to be broken.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Glory be to God. We're going to stand strong. We're going to have our tears and stop being broken. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Crying is not breaking. Man, because when your 3-year-old, how old was John now? When your 3-year-old is shot and killed accidentally, you're going to cry for days, and that's okay.
Amen.
So I'm not talking about crying. Being blew away by some terrible news is not being broken.
Amen.
When your sister dies, your daughter dies, you're going to be sad. Dad has a stroke out the blue. Well, come on, see your dad dead in the chair. You're going to be blue sideways. He understands our humanity. Yes. You follow that? Yes. Broken is you give up all hope.
Yes.
I'm hopeless. It's done. It's over. No, that means God. You believe God. You don't trust God anymore. You don't trust his word, what he said he would do. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. Meaning the God of Moses, just as I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. As he was with Daniel in the lion's den, so is he with us in our lion's den. As he was with Paul and Barnabas in jail, so is he with us in our times of incarceration, in a sense.
Amen.
When we're surrounded by trials and they have imprisoned us and we see no way out, we'll be able to sing a song. Because that's the same God. He is not diminished. We need to really, really meditate this. Oh, well, that was Paul. That was in the Bible. That was Daniel. You know, that was Daniel.
Get your mind right. Yes, sir.
That's the same God. He said, okay, you said that was Daniel. But then what did God say about himself that can be related to you? Well, he said, I'm the Lord, I change not. Okay. So that was one thing. Then he says, I'm the same yesterday, that's Daniel day, today, that's our day, and forevermore. So as he was with Daniel at the end, as he was with Moses striking the rock, as he was with Gideon, the poorest of the poor, so is he with us today. Counseling, guiding, directing, empowering.
Thank you, Father.
You don't realize it, but you already have experienced that power. Father God, help us to already realize that we were experiencing miracle power in our lives, even on today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Your sisters have died. Your mothers, our parents have died. Sudden death all over the menu. God has brought us through. What we forget. That's what happened. We forget. And God right now is calling it to remembrance. What he has already done for us. How his miracle working power has already come through.
Oh, yes. Thank you,
Lord. We're forgetting. Thank you, Jesus. That's a word. We're forgetting what he's already done. Everyone in here has incredible testimonies. As the old folks used to say, that probably most of us in here can say the song, we should have been dead and sleeping in our grave.
Amen.
But you came and you made a way. We know it. Hallelujah. Ooh, I feel that down in my sanctified soul. He's made some ways. Am I right, Papa?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
I think about my man, fella. Minister fella, man, he just should have been dead. He out there crazy. He tell his testimony. Fella so chilled out. Nah, his own very own children don't believe that he was like that. They laugh at him. Am I right, fella? Yeah. They don't believe it. Should have been dead. Yeah. Come, we get real stupid. You know, we're real stupid. I'm loving it. I'm got enough freedom. I'm 7th, 8th grade. I'm middle school. That's 12, 13 years old. Hang with dude with guns. You know, they run from the police. I'm running with them. Like, we hiding in the bushes. I'm like, wow, this is fun. Nothing about the stupidity of it, man. They don't care nothing about you at all. If something go down, this little dude did it. And I'm up, because I don't know about the streets. Other than you walk on them and drive on them. Don't know nothing about the streets. Nothing. Oh, yeah. Psalm says, he brought me out of the world of sin and darkness into his marvelous light. Look where he brought me from. Ah, you Jesus. We've seen this come to pass. Somehow good come out of it. We don't always understand it, but somehow we're better for it. We're stronger, we're wiser, we're more mature. We're ready to counsel others when they have horrible tragedies. You can teach others. You can talk to family members that you couldn't have never talked to before. Man, during this whole thing with this right here, where I couldn't go to sleep because you couldn't lay down, you know, it was as far as a natural was, it was a tough situation. Man, but the Lord has brought me so much closer to him during this time, I can't even begin to put it into words. If I would, I would struggle. It's just been a peace and a closeness to him that I had not had before this happened. I know that he does all things working for his good. In the most unexpected ways.
Amen.
At the most unexpected times. This transition of getting closer to him during this time has been so smooth, it was almost imperceptible. He had to tell me what's going on. My thought life had just gone to a whole nother level, just a whole nother level of being closer to him. Whole nother level. And when I hadn't played the song for probably about a month, and I played it this morning, Lord, make me over. I'm like, he said, this is the answer to that prayer. I'm like, yeah. Just answer that prayer. I'm making you over. I'm telling you, if you're serious about things of God and you're praying the right prayers, brother, they're going to get an answer. Bump all the Cadillacs and the Hackadacks and, you know, all that. Just, Lord, I want to just be more like you. Make me over. I'm tired of the evil ways. Doing the same thing, same time, same place. All that the song says. When you get really like that before God, for real, you best believe, brother, change is coming, brother and sister. I thank God. But God even has to put in you, in me, in us, even that desire to see ourselves. That's why Wednesday night is so crucial for those who do come. By judging our thoughts and intentions of our heart, we need to see ourselves. And then when we see ourselves, accept it. Ooh, that's ugly, but I got to accept that is me. Now, Lord, make me over from that. Change me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Because, Father God, I thank you working everything according to your will for your good and my good. My good and...